Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I want to begin today's sermon in our series by reminding you of a couple of the key points we have made so far. We began by reflecting on the nature of God. God is love. We love because God first loves us. And we give because God first gives to us. Jenny and I have talked about the only two commands we are really given, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength, and to love our neighbour as ourself. Last week, Irene used the Christmas carol as an example of knowing what to give. First and foremost, we are to give our heart. So this morning we have a gospel reading set for us as the lectionary reading for Candlemas. And I've chosen to go with it, the reading from Samuel, as a bit of a compare and contrast. In both readings, we have the presentation and dedication of the firstborn son to the Lord, as was prescribed in the law of Moses. And in both cases, that dedication is accompanied by a sacrificial gift. Last week, Irene talked about the need to sacrificially give our time and our talents in the service of God. This week, I want to talk about financial giving. And this should not come as a surprise. Giving to the church has been part of discipleship since before there was any such thing as the church. It was part of the worship of the Jewish temple, just as it is part of our worship in Christ's church. The economy of previous centuries was different to ours. Money was used by merchants in trade, but it was less important than it is today. There was far more direct exchange of goods. Farmers did not sell their produce and then give 10% of the proceeds to the church. They gave 10% of their produce. As an example, I give you this extract from the records of Cookno Church in 1702. All grass ground in the meadows and common fields, tithable in kind. The pastures, when lying to grass, pay rent, when ploughed, pay tithe in kind. Milk, calves, wool, lambs, pigs, orchards, gardens, eggs, honey, all due in kind. That's why, in years past, all villages had tithe barns, into which 10% of all produce from the land would be brought. In today's economy, we have a different way of working. Teachers, health workers, factory workers, and IT technicians cannot give 10% of their harvest in the same way. Although I can think of one or two teachers who would like to give a particular 10% of their children. For the majority of us, our harvest comes in the form of a paycheck at the end of the week or month. And it is from this that we give to support the work of the church as part of our discipleship and our worship. Joseph and Mary gave two turtle doves, the prescribed gift of a poor person. Hannah's gift, by contrast, might seem extravagant, mostly made up of the value of a three-year-old bull. And to put this into perspective, in today's money, a bull that is kept for 3 years is probably not raised for meat, it is kept for breeding. And it would typically be worth around £3,000 to £4,000. But that's for a typical bull. For a prize-winning pedigree, you would pay more. And I believe that the current record for a prize-winning Limousin is £126,000. The animals used in sacrifice were perfect and blemish-free. So we're talking more in the prize-winning range than the typical everyday range. You might want to compare this again to the perfume that Mary of Magdala poured over Jesus' feet and the widow's mite. The point is that each of these, within their means, gave generously. But what is generously? I believe the starting point is the tithe. The biblical tithe is 10%. Of course, in today's world, we have other charities that also compete for our money, and the Church of England recognises this. The alternative tithe is to give half the normal tithe, 5%, to the church, and the other half, 5%, to your own chosen charities. But whether you give 10% or 5% to the church, there are some other important biblical principles as well. First, 10% is not the target to aim for. It is the base level to start from. The giving of a bull or two turtle doves when dedicating the firstborn son in the temple was the prescribed offering. Any free will offering was on top of that. Secondly, the giving of the tithe should be planned. It should be regular. It should be the first 10%. If you have looked at your weekly or monthly income, worked out 10%, and then put into place a system for ensuring that you give that first before paying for anything else, then I say, well done. You are walking a disciple's path. But if you come to church on a Sunday morning, open your wallet or purse and see what is inside before deciding what to give, then you are not giving God your first 10%. You are giving him the dregs from the bottom of the barrel. If you have decided in advance how much you should give when you come to church each week and bring it with you when you come to put it in the plate, that is good. But what if you miss a week at church because you are on holiday or too busy or ill or you forget to bring it with you? Do you put in double next time, or does God miss out? Honestly. Now, I know that there are some people in our benefice who give more than 10% of their income to the church. I don't know their names and I don't want to. I also know there are some people who are not giving as much as they think they are because their giving is ad hoc when they come. And that is why I commend to you the new parish giving scheme. Most of you already pay your electricity bill, your water rates, your council tax, your TV licence by direct debit. Shouldn't you be paying your church tithe the same way? It's easy to set up, and it begins with asking your treasurer for a form. If you're already on the old Peterborough Diocese Standing Order scheme, you need to change over anyway. The new scheme is better for the diocese and the parish and you, and the old scheme is being closed down at the end of the year. Using the parish giving scheme means that your giving is planned. If you give using the envelopes and you want to continue putting cash into envelopes, that's fine. But you need to ask the treasurer to give you numbered envelopes. If your income is paid monthly, you only need 12 a year. But if your income is weekly, you may need 52. Then you can put your tithe offering into the envelope at home when you are paid and bring the full ones to church when you come. That way, you can easily keep track of how much you have given, and your giving is planned and not ad hoc. But remember this, above all, we give because God first gave to us. Primarily, he gave his only son, who allowed himself to be nailed to a cross and died for you, so that you might live forever. And remember also that what we give back was God's to begin with, as the offertory prayer says. Everything in heaven and on earth comes from you, and of your own do we give you. Okay, so I've talked quite a lot this morning about money, about planned giving and tithing. But I make no apologies for that. In fact, if I need to apologize for anything, it is that I do not talk about it enough. Giving is part of discipleship. But there are a couple of other things I want to talk about regarding stewardship and efficient giving. I have heard people say, I do not give so much money because I give in other ways. Well, giving in other ways is good. And last week, Irene talked about giving time and talents. But I say that these should also be tithed. You should be giving at least 10% of your time and effort in giving your God-given talents back to God. Discipleship is not a commitment to turn up to church for 1 hour a month or 1 hour a week until you get bored with it or fall out with the vicar. Discipleship is a lifelong commitment to following Jesus and obeying his command to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. In other words, to love him totally. So giving your time and talents and money is not an either or. You should be doing both. And then finally, stewardship is about looking after what God has given you and making sure you get the best value from your giving. And believe it or not, in this country, we have a friendly and helpful tax system when it comes to giving. If you are donating flowers for church on a regular basis, or petrol for the lawnmower, or coffee and biscuits or cakes, or paper for news sheets on a regular basis, and not claiming back your expenses, then stop it. You should be claiming back this money because it is part of the cost of running the church. And if you don't want the money back, if you consider that to be part of your giving, then when you receive your expenses from the treasurer, put it into a gift aid envelope if you pay tax, or loose into the plate if you don't, as a donation back to the church. That way, we can claim back gift aid for it. Instead of you donating £10 worth of petrol or coffee or flowers, the church gets an effective donation of £12.50. And those £2.50s add up. When Jesus called his disciples to follow him, they left their boats and followed him. They were fishermen. Their boats were their livelihood. It cost them financially to follow Jesus. And we should be of the same mind. When Hannah presented Samuel in the temple with gifts of flour and wine and a bull, when Joseph and Mary presented Jesus in the temple with that poor person's gift of 2 turtle doves, they were each giving generously as they could afford and what was expected of them. No one expected Mary to use expensive perfume to anoint Jesus' feet. It was totally a free will gift of love. But all of them gave their gifts gladly in thanks for God's blessing and gift to them. And once again I say, when we give, we should be of the same mind. Amen.